You're listening to the Lawyer Lifestyle Podcast with Chicago attorney Dave Scriven Young.
It's Tuesday, so that means another Legal Power Players episode. Every Tuesday, I bring to you an interview with someone who's in power in the legal industry or someone whose superpower is in marketing, sales, and leadership. Today, I'm excited to have Dr. Dennis Cummins on the show. Dennis is an internationally recognized speaker, best-selling author, and sales expert for elite providers of professional services. Dennis is on a mission to take the mystery and the stress out of sales and selling. He's committed to teaching medical and legal professionals the science and art of comfortable, confident, shameless self-promotion. Since 2008, Dennis has taught over 64,000 people throughout North America, Europe, Asia, and Australia how to build business and become more successful by learning to message their value to their clients. In his latest book, Non-Professionally Speaking, Dennis shows you how to successfully and fearlessly combine the skills of sales and communication to attract better clients, close more sales, and create massive profit. So, Dr. Cummins, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for having me here. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, my pleasure. So as I mentioned, this is a place for people who are in power, either in the legal industry or have a superpower in marketing, sales, and leadership. And I understand that your superpower is particularly in communications. And your book, Non-Professionally Speaking, has a very interesting title to me. I wonder if you could tell my audience a little bit about what is meant by non-professionally speaking.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, I'm very flattered that I now have a superpower, because up till now, I think my superpower was the ability to take out the garbage at home. But but I do appreciate it. And I do feel that communication has been something that's always been pretty natural to me. Regarding non-professionally speaking, you know, for years now, I've taught business owners and primarily professionals like doctors and lawyers, authors and coaches, like service providers, how to use speaking as a tool to promote their offices. But whenever I would offer a class on, you know, selling from the stage or learning how to speak about your business, everybody would, you know, the number one complaint I got was, well, I don't want to be a professional speaker. You know, and from my point of view, I always knew, well, I don't want you to be one either, but I want you to be able to communicate your value. And so I came up with this, well, you don't want to be a professional speaker. Let's call it a non-professionally speaking. And it just kind of eliminated that sort of subconscious objection that people have to becoming speakers. And ideally, you know, the best speakers are the more natural people that are just talking about the stuff that they love. And what non-professionally speaking is about is not about getting in front of a stage of thousands of people. It's about getting up in front of 5 or 10 of your potential clients and messaging your value in a way that makes it just the natural progression is for them to retain your services. And that's what I teach, especially with attorneys. It's what I teach them how to do.
Well, very interesting. And one question I have for you is you talk about selling from the stage. And I think, you know, in addition to not wanting to become a professional speaker, most lawyers are not interested in selling their services. Obviously, on my podcast, I talk about, you know, why you need to do that. But I wonder what your thoughts are in terms of why lawyers specifically need to sell from the stage and sell their services from the stage.
Well, I will say this. When I say the stage, I don't mean you're standing actually up on a stage. I mean, I've done that when I do motivational speaking and stuff. But when I say the stage, I mean, whenever you're in front of other people, you have the stage. So that might be on a webinar, which I show people how to do, or it may be on a podcast, or like we're doing right now, or it could be a small discovery visit that you're doing in your office. It could even be a one-on-one consultation that you're having with a potential client. And the ability to do that, it's so beneficial for attorneys who want to build a practice. And, you know, and I hear all the time that people's number one objection is, I don't want to sell. I don't want to feel salesy. I don't want to seem like that pushy person. And in our society, we tend to have this connotation that sales is a negative thing. Like people who sell are greedy and they're just out for them. But I'd like to flip the switch on that for everybody that's listening right now, because I want you to consider this. If you have a service that helps others, and as attorneys, you absolutely do, You either help people solve a problem with their finances, you help it solve a problem with their reputation, or you help solve a problem with their lifestyle. You know, they came to you with a legal problem that affects one of those three things, and you help them do that. If you can't convince them that you are the right person that can help them solve the problem, well, then their problem doesn't get solved, or it gets solved by somebody less skillful than you. So I think it's not only your kind of your job to do it. It's not only how you make money doing it. I believe it's your responsibility to sell your services. And, you know, and a lot of people consider sales to equal money that comes from it. And money does come from sales. But I like to think that sales equals service, because you cannot sell something without providing value for what they exchange their money for. So if you consider sales equals service, well, the better you get at serving people, the more you're going to have sales. And I think once you start to consider it from that point of view, learning how to get better at selling means you get better at helping more people. And I think it's really important. You know, I consider it, I truly believe, Dave, that every single person in this world has a gift to share. And when you don't share that gift, you cause suffering. As an attorney, you have a gift to share. You have the ability to help people out of a jam. And I'm not talking about the legal jam that they're in. I'm talking about the problems that legal jam causes for them. Whether it's the loss of their job, the loss of their reputation, the loss of their spouse, their loss of their rights, the loss of their freedom, you help solve that problem. But you have to convince them that taking care of it and taking care of it sooner rather than later is a really good idea. And taking care of it with you is even a better idea. And in order to do that, you have to get good at having a sales conversation. And I think that's more of an invitational process than a push out process.
Well, you know, I totally agree with that. And what I would tell you is, you know, one of the things that I preach on this podcast all the time is if you really believe that what you do as an attorney helps people. And, you know, I got into this because, you know, I believe that, you know, lawyers can help people. Lawyers can help, you know, make the powerless more powerful through lawsuits and the like. And if you really believe that you're services help people, then I agree with you. You have an obligation. You have a, you must sell your services, because that's the way that you're going to be able to reach more people.
Yeah, absolutely. And unfortunately, it seems that it's the one skill that, you know, listen, lawyers are incredibly smart people. It's not easy to go through law school and to pass the bar exams and, you know, and to, you know, start your own firm or to work in a larger firm. It takes an incredible amount of intelligence. It takes an incredible amount of diligence and determination. And with all of that, though, what they don't teach you is, how do I promote myself? And how do I promote myself in a way that doesn't feel like a sleazy sales situation, right? How do I do it in an ethical and a responsible way, where everybody feels good about this process? And there is a way to do it. And one of the ways, and there's more than one, but one of the ways, by far and away, the best way to market your firm or practice is by getting in front of people and speaking about it. You know, now, Dave, you didn't mention, and I don't think it's in my bio, but I was a chiropractor for 23 years in New York. I ran two offices. And I know that in order to build those practices, it required me convincing or at least explaining what I could do for people and how I could help them in a way that made them decide that they were going to choose my office over any of the dozen others that were in my community. So, you know, I know that this works. And, you know, I've worked with hundreds of professionals that use, you know, LinkedIn and Instagram and Facebook, and they're doing paid advertising and mailers and email campaigns and all these other kinds of things. But with all of that, with every single professional that I've worked with, the results they get from directly speaking to the clients that they hope to retain, it so far exceeds any other form of marketing that they do. It's so incredible to me why everybody doesn't do this and why they don't know about it.
Well, let's talk about then, you know, let's transition into talking about, you know, where you can find people to talk to. Because I think, you know, as lawyers, we're familiar with speaking to other lawyers. And we're familiar with, you know, doing things like continuing legal education, you know, maybe going to a conference and speaking on a legal topic. And for that, in those on those stages, you're primarily talking to attorneys. And I think what often we miss is there are opportunities to get in front of potential clients. People, yes, I mean, talking to lawyers is good because you might get referrals and the like. But when you're actually speaking to people who are potential clients, that to me seems the most powerful thing that you can do. And that is what I think your system provides the most benefit for attorneys. So I wonder, you know, what are some of the ways that, or what are some of the platforms that you can use to reach those potential clients?
Yeah, and that's a great point too, because it's been said like there's two of the most challenging things to do when it comes to speaking at all is number one is learning how to speak, and number two is finding people to speak to, and it's not always an easy thing, you know. So the good thing about it is there are plenty of opportunities for people to discuss and talk about their practice. And before we get there, though, Dave, I would like to just talk about one other thing.
Sure.
Knowing where to speak is not of any value unless you are very clear about how to speak to them, right? Because finding places to speak and going out, like if you take the same skills that you learned as a litigator or the same skills that you learned at a CLE event or some other law conference that you've attended and try to take those skills to the general public, they absolutely will not translate into sales. It is a different skill set. And this is one of the things that I always say when I'm working with professionals is like, you know, you're almost too smart for this, because what your level of education and understanding and linguistic training doesn't match the comprehension level of the audience that you're trying to relate to. And it is a matter of communicating to them on the level that they can understand. And there's a system to it. There's a process to it. And it's not hard to do. And the reason that lawyers and attorneys usually don't speak in front of other people is because they think that, number one, they're just going to think it's a sales pitch. Or number two, the attorneys themselves think, well, I'm just going to look dumb if I do this because I'm not a speaker and I'm not good in front of people. You know, I hear that over and over again. The interesting thing is it's not that hard to do if you understand the system and you're willing to put in the practice. It's not like you can just kind of fill in the blanks and go out and do it and you're going to be great. You know, there is a learning curve to it, but it's if you can get through law school, you can definitely learn how to give a short, maybe 20, 30, 40 minute presentation to people. And once you've mastered those skills, the next challenge is, well, now who do you bring them to? So let's get into that because you mentioned it. And, you know, I know that you've taken a look at the expert report that I have, and it has, you know, 63 ways to find people to speak to. So, you know, the best way, let's break it into the couple of the groups that are on there. You could start by people that you know, asking for referrals. You know, hey, listen, part of the reason of using speaking as a marketing tool, especially for attorneys, for doctors, for authors and coaches and PTs and dentists and the like, the reason for using my strategy and my technique is for you to speak in front of your target market, your ideal clients or potential clients, your ideal prospects, in the hopes that they're going to decide on their own that, yes, I want to work with the attorney. I want to work with that person. The best way to find those people is by tapping into your existing clients, right? They retained you because they already like you. And you could ask them, hey, listen, do you belong to other groups? Because people tend to hang out with groups that are just like them. You know, who else do you know that I can help? And you could invite those people. So just simply tapping into your current database, your current client base, you can ask them for referrals, not to come into the office right away, but to invite to a presentation. And probably, especially with everything that's going on with COVID, one of the best ways to do that is online. and host a live Zoom training or a Zoom webinar where you invite your potential clients online, and then you do a brief presentation about what you do and how you can help. The people that you already know, or tap into the professional groups that you belong to. And that may not be law groups, by the way. Maybe you belong to local Kiwanis clubs or local Rotaries or local, you know, even your PTA and PTOs in the school systems. Speaking in front of groups there or people in your own community, great places to do that. Now, the other way to do that is to actually intentionally seek out networking groups, right? So other groups, and find groups that have people in your industry. So if you've got, let's suppose you're involved in employment law, you might join groups that have a lot of union members or people that are obviously employee-based. You could actually start your own meetup, and you could actually have a specific topic based on what type of law you practice. So if you're doing estate planning, you might do a meetup group on how to prepare your will, or how do you prepare your estate, or how to avoid taxes. If you practice family law or divorce law, you might do a work on, you know, how to amicably separate your assets and get groups together like that. Then there's, you know, other networking groups would be school groups that I've mentioned, but maybe even, you know, your church or religious organizations in your area, or nonprofit groups that you belong to. Another great way to network as an attorney, especially as professionals, is to sponsor other groups, and in exchange for your sponsorship, to have the ability to get up and just explain who you are, and then you invite them to come and listen to you. So that's two ways right there. Now, you could advertise. So to find places to speak or to invite people to listen to you, you could do things online. So you could do some paid advertising. And by the way, probably Dave, one of the things that I love about speaking is it doesn't have to cost you anything. If you're willing to do a little bit of work and create some organic interest in what you do. So, you know, there are a lot of people, and a lot of my colleagues and a lot of the clients that I work with are currently using Facebook as a tremendous driver, or, well, it's a driver for driving new leads to their business or to their sales funnel. It works. The percentages are pretty low, and the costs have been going up and up dramatically. And then there's pay-per-click ads on LinkedIn. You could advertise on YouTube. You can do Google AdWords. There's all these types of paid ways that you could drive people to watch a webinar, watch a presentation, invite them to a live event. When those were more accessible, we would do that as well. But that's one way to do that. Offline, you could advertise with print advertising or posters or flyers or things like that. The other great way of doing it is, anytime you're at an event, anytime you're speaking to anybody else or even attending another workshop, you know, talking with people who are already at the workshop and saying, hey, listen, you know, who else could I speak to? Who can I get in front of? Now, here's a strategy. You know, we talk about public speaking and networking with people. Dave, I'm on your podcast right now because of networking with somebody else whose podcast I was on.
That's
so
right.
I was on someone's podcast. You know, Kristen is an amazing person. She does an amazing work, by the way. Kristen was a client of mine from years ago, and she's done an amazing job of using speaking as a sales and business building strategy for herself. But she was on your podcast. She and I networked together. She introduced you and I, and now I'm on your podcast too. And, you know, and the same thing, if I know people that I think would be a really great fit for your listeners, I'm going to introduce them as well. So this is a great way to be in front of people, networking with your peers and networking with the people that you're interested in. A lot of my clients also have podcasts. Well, if my clients liked me enough to hire me, the likelihood is their clients will like me as well. And if we provide different services, there's more opportunities there. And at the end of the day, it all boils down to your ability to speak about what you do and message your value.
Well, let me unpack a little bit about that, because you gave us just a tremendous amount of resources and abilities to speak to different audiences. But I think, you know, for me and for my audience, I think what we'd be most interested in, I think, is a couple of things. Number one, I found it fascinating that you talked about tapping into your existing client base, because I think oftentimes, you know, we think about, you know, sending out a newsletter to our existing clients or just in normal communications, you know, talking to our clients about the case. And possibly we also think about getting referrals for potential clients from our existing clients. But in terms of getting a new audience from our existing clients, I really like that, because you're right, it's a group of people who already know, like, and trust us, and they can refer us. And I think it's an easy ask, Dennis. Am I right on that? Because, you know, you're not asking somebody, hey, who do you know who could be my client? You're just saying, hey, who do you know that would want to get information about what I do or information about a legal topic?
Absolutely. And this is my experience in building my chiropractic offices. And I've heard this from my clients as well. When you say to your clients, you say, hey, listen, you know, I'm putting on a new workshop and here's my purpose. I really want to teach the community about X, Y, or Z. And I could really use your help getting people to, you know, find out about it and like it. Do you know anybody who I could invite to listen to the presentation? And, you know, and by the way, I'd love to have you on board as well to get your feedback, right? In my experience, when you put it like you're asking help for help from your clients so that you can grow your business or get a message out there, they are thrilled to death to help with that. And again, you're not asking for anything. You're not asking for a client. You're not asking for money. You're only asking for the ability to help somebody. And it's a simple, easy ask. And I think if you language it correctly, you're going to find that your current clients will like go head over heels to try to help you out, because they want to be part of your success. They want to feel like they're part of you helping other people. It's really a unique way to promote what you do. And it's a unique way to get in front of people to speak to as well.
Yeah, I love that. And the other stage, if you will, or platform that I think would be most applicable to people listening to my podcast is the social media platform, but not necessarily the ad portion of it, but the organic reach part of it. Because I think a lot of people, you know, my age and younger who listen to my podcast have this tremendous social network in terms of number of contacts, whether that's their LinkedIn network or their Facebook friends or Twitter followers. These are people who are, you know, maybe not your actual friends in real life, but people who for some reason or other are connected with you and are interested in your work. And what I really love about the ability to, you know, just turn on your camera and do a live program or to even schedule a live event is that, again, all of these people already know who you are and are interested in what you're doing. And whether or not they, you know, watch the whole program, who knows? But at least, you know, you have a potential network that is much bigger than it would be, you know, otherwise if you tried to do some, you know, paid event somewhere, talking to people who already have some connection with you. I think it sounds like it would be tremendous value.
It would be. With one caveat, though, Dave, I think in my experience, the better use of social media is to do short promotional videos that aren't what I'm describing here. You know, I'm talking about creating a sales presentation, basically. It's a 30-minute small talk that walks people basically through the entire sales decision process. That is your end goal, to have your ideal potential client sit through that presentation, because that is the one that converts to sales. That is the one that changes a lead into a client. But in order to get them there, very often, if you try to do that right away on social media, it's like, you know, walking into a bar and seeing a girl across the room and just going over and say, will you marry me? You know, it's too much too soon. You have to kind of entice them into, you know, hey, listen, let me share one of the tips that I'm going to go over, or this is what we're going to cover, and share like a little tip, generate some interest so that people then go and register for your event. And ideally, you'd like to get their email as the cost of admission, right? Because you want to build your mailing list. You want to be able to nurture these people. If they were interested enough to sign up for a presentation that you were giving, then they're probably somebody that you would want to keep in touch with in the long term.
Got it. That makes a lot of sense. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, what you would put into the sales presentation. And, you know, one of the things that you talked about is, you know, lawyers who, you know, maybe use too much legalese or talk over the people that, you know, that they're talking to. And, you know, I've heard, you know, Russell Brunson talk about his, you know, epiphany bridge script where you, you know, you have someone on one side of the bridge who is just a nerd about this thing, whatever they're talking about, and they're talking in legalese and they're talking fast, and it really turns away people. Do you find, you know, that lawyers are often succumbed to, you know, talking in legalese? I mean, maybe that's an obvious question, but I bet you see that in your practice.
Yeah. And it's not just lawyers, by the way, it's most people. And I think this is the cause of that. In the attempt to create value and interest during a presentation, almost everyone errs on the side of throwing in too much stuff, thinking that that's going to be the value, right? You know, if it's doctors, they're going to speak doctor language and they're going to use all their medical jargon and medical technology. You know, if it's legal, they're going to speak Latin and use all their legal jargon. You know, everybody's got their own jargon and they're going to talk about all these things that the average person doesn't know. And here's the really big point. Everybody listen up right now. The people also don't care. They don't care about all that stuff. And this is the biggest part of non-professionally speaking, is getting people to realize that the people listening to you, they don't really care about, you know, how you do it, what you do. They don't even care about what you do. Here's what they care about. And this is really important for everybody listening right now. They care about how what you do will affect them. And what they really want to know is, you know, what's it going to do for me? How are you going to help my life? How are you going to help my finances? How are you going to affect my reputation? How are you going to affect my lifestyle? Those are the things that they want to know. And they don't need the complications, all the complications that are in there. So, David, would it be okay if I share it with everybody online? Because one of my, and by the way, this is something that I'd like everybody listening to also consider. One of the things that I always like to do when preparing, and this is one of the things that I teach, is I want you to create a presentation that includes value to the point where even if they decided to do nothing else with you, they decide, listen, they sit through this whole presentation and you offer your services at the end and they say no, I want them to still walk away with value as if they were able to achieve something, like they can solve a little bit of their problem because of what you shared with them. So I always, you know, I insist that the people that I work with, when they're doing a presentation, that they include actionable information in their presentation so that no matter what anybody decides, when they leave with a great taste in their mouth, right? Even if they decide, hey, I don't want to work with you, Dave, but you know what? I really appreciated the fact that you shared that information and it's going to definitely help me. And then when I finally, you know, maybe my circumstances change a little bit down the road and I finally have the resources to be able to take care of the problem, I'm going to remember that you were the guy that helped me out and you're going to be the person that I call. That's what I want you to do when people leave. So what I'd like to do, if it's all right with you, Dave, is share three really critical elements that people have to include when doing a presentation in order to really increase their sales, increase their conversions. Is that cool?
That would be great.
All right. So here's the first thing. You got to open strong. All right. Just so I'm going to share three things. Number one is open strong. And here's what I mean by this. People will trust you. They'll have faith in you. They'll be willing to act with you if they believe you. And they're going to believe you based on the appearance of confidence. And when I say appearance of confidence, I mean how it appears to the listener. If they think that you're confident, they're going to know you're confident. If they perceive that you are not confident about what you're doing, they're going to go, well, if he's not confident talking to me right now, I'm not going to trust him to handle my legal matter either. So the opening is a critical stage for the development of your talk. Now, the opening of a, let's just say you're going to do a 30-minute presentation, your opening might only be 3 minutes, 4 minutes, that I call the opening sequence. But that has to be so solid. You have to be so confident and so practiced at it that when you deliver it, like right from the very start, you seem confident, you feel confident, you look confident because you are confident. That is not the time to fumble in your language, to search for what you're going to say, to talk about, you know, to look unsure of yourself. Because at the beginning of the talk, your audience is pretty skeptical because they're not sure if they're going to get sold, if this is going to be a waste of their time, if you know anything. And on the other side, you're up there. And for most people, speaking is their number one fear. Public speaking is one of the top fears that human beings have. So you got this fearful presenter and a skeptical audience. It's a recipe for disaster. And if you lose their confidence in the beginning, you will almost never gain it back during your talk. It's not just, they've already made their decision about you. That make sense?
Absolutely. It's kind of like when you see presidential debates and you see someone who's not prepared to give their opening statement, and you always wonder, well, they knew that they were going to be doing this. Why weren't they prepared? It sounds a little bit like that.
A little bit like that. Or when you go to the wedding and the best man gets up, oh, I didn't know I was going to give a speech, right?
Exactly.
You know, yeah, you did know, and you're just too lazy to prepare for it. But there's a system. There's like an easy step-by-step, like couple of things to do. And if you tick them all off, then it makes it really solid. So whatever format you're using, you have to be really sure about how you're going to open up. And how you all doing is not a great opening. I'll tell you that right now. So how's everybody doing tonight? That's not the way to open your talk. There's a much better way to do it, and I share that with my clients. So that's the first thing, open strong. The second one, and this gets to what we were talking about before, about, you know, sometimes being too smart and talking over people's heads. And the lesson number two here is less is more. It's really easy to get kind of caught up in, I want to deliver value. I want to tell them about all this legal stuff that I'm going to do. But what happens is it creates confusion. And if you cover too much, there's so much stuff in there that people don't remember any of it. So what I suggest is, and really, you know, for promoting your business, for building your practice, for increasing the size of your firm, I really say, listen, somewhere around a 30-minute presentation is all you need to work on. Maybe 30, 45 minutes tops. But in that time, cover three main topics and no more than that. You know, sometimes it's just two if they're biggies. But just two or three main topics that you're going to cover, and cover it in a simple fashion. And for each one, you should give them something that they can do to solve it. And the purpose of your talk is those three topics are going to introduce problems that they will likely face because of the legal matters they have that you, the attorney, solves. So you're going to introduce three things that are problems that your current clients have. Now, you know, as an attorney, you know, you've been in practice for a while. You know that most of your clients come in with very similar complaints. They come to you because you're a specialist in a very particular style of law. Yes?
Absolutely.
And everybody else does too. So you know what your ideal client, and by the way, if you're going to schedule a talk, why not do a talk that attracts your ideal client? Figure out, what does your ideal client come in to complain of? What are their three biggest concerns in terms of their finances, their lifestyle, or their reputation? What are their biggest concerns? And then address those three concerns during your talk. How does your style of law, or how does the problem that they're likely to be in, how could you help solve it or make it a little bit better for them? But do it simply. And just give them some easy things to move. What I recommend is that you solve part, but not all of their problem for them in your talk. And what this does is it allows your audience, and this is really, really important for converting prospects into clients, by covering three things, explaining how it shows up in their lives, and then giving them a partial solution to it. In the listener's mind, you then have demonstrated that, number one, you understand their problem. And number two, you actually know how to solve it, because you're offering them the start of the solution. And what that does is it builds that, it's like, oh my God, this guy, he knows what I'm going through and he knows how to fix it. That makes it easy for me to say, I want to hire you, right? Because now you're building that trust and you're building that expertise and you're building your reputation. So first one, open strong so that you establish confidence. Number two, less is more. Focus on two or three main points that partially solve a problem for them and demonstrate your expertise. And then the last one, and this is the part where people fumble as well. So the two places where people have the biggest problem is in the opening, because they're nervous. And in number two is when they have to have what I call a call to action. And that's when they have to tell people, hey, go to the back of the room and register right now, or give me your credit card so we can get you started. It's the sale. And the sale causes people to jam up and bottle up. And a little bit is because of they don't want to, it's about how people will perceive them. We're all, you know, as human beings, we're worried that people will perceive us as pushy, or I'm just trying to make a sale. No, I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you save money. I'm trying to help you stay out of jail. I'm trying to help you have an amicable divorce. I'm trying to help you preserve your wealth for your legacy after you pass away. I'm trying to help you solve a problem. The question is, would you like to have that problem solved? But the biggest mistake that professionals make is when they get to the offer of what they're going to do, they list all of the features. So, you know, hey, listen, I'm going to prepare the brief. We're going to schedule your appointments with the court. We're going to appear in front of the judge on your behalf. We're going to schedule all the depositions. And those are the features of what you do. I want to say this again, and I've already mentioned this. Your clients don't care what you're going to do. They care about you solving their problem. So if you're going to list a feature, it's really important that you also state the benefit of that feature. So the third lesson for everybody listening right now is close with benefits. Don't just tell them what you're going to do. Be absolutely certain that you tell them how what you're going to do is going to make their life better. That is the piece of information that is going to dramatically increase the conversion from lead to client.
So I have a couple of questions there. One is, so I totally get what you're saying, and it makes perfect sense that you want to talk about sort of like, you know, how it's going to help, how what your service is going to do helps people. You know, I'm a litigator, so, you know, I file cases and defend cases on behalf of people and businesses. And, you know, something that's been drilled into me by, you know, people that I've worked with and by a managing partner of my office is, you know, you never can guarantee what's going to happen in litigation, because you don't know, you know, how a judge or a jury is going to see things. You don't know, you know, what crazy things your opponent's going to do. So you never want to guarantee something, but you certainly can show, you know, how litigation could benefit you if you're a plaintiff. Obviously, if you're a defendant, it's going to benefit you because, you know, you're not going to have a default judgment against you. So I think in this context, especially in a litigation context, it's important to be careful to make that distinction. But I wouldn't you agree, Dennis? I think your principle still holds up.
Absolutely. And I'm absolutely never suggesting that you guarantee results, by the way. But here's what I am suggesting. Even as a litigator, Dave, if one of the things you do is we will take care of submitting all the paperwork and all of the briefs for the courts, that's what you do so that you don't have to worry about missing a deadline. You don't have to worry about your case being thrown out on a technicality because you forgot to send in a single form that you didn't even know about. That's the benefit, right? So I'm not, you can still list the features of what you do. I'm not suggesting ever that you guarantee the result of a court case, but you can explain how the services you provide are a benefit for the client along the way.
I think that makes a lot of sense. And also, you know, I think a lot of people that I deal with in terms of business owners have, you know, something, a worry or something, or a business relationship that has gone bad, and perhaps they don't know what to do, and they're not, they've thought about, wow, this is really a bad situation. But sometimes they need a little push, a little motivation to do something about it. And so that's another way that you could, you know, possibly posit what your benefit is to a potential client as well. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that, you know, kind of when I have more time and we can do the full program, we talk about, you know, during the course of the middle section of your talk where you're delivering your value, you also point out how people's lives can be better and what will happen if they do nothing, right? So how it's going to be worse if this goes the wrong way, or how it's going to be worse if you don't file correctly, or how it's going to be worse if you don't have this agreement in place before, you know, a business arrangement occurs. So you're always going to point out the pros and cons of what you do along the way, but there's a way to do it in a conversational fashion where you're teaching them along the way. So it doesn't sound like you're using a scare tactic to get them to sign on the dotted line. It doesn't sound like you are some huckster trying to do the deal of the day to get them to sign in as a client. You know, the whole purpose of non-professionally speaking, Dave, is to allow people to, with tremendous confidence and authenticity, explain something to people in a way that they finally understand why it's so important that I use your services and how you can help me make my life better. And finally, what do I do next to become a client? And if you do this the right way, the results are astounding.
Well, let me ask you, you talked about, you know, earlier you referenced, you know, people running to the back of the room. So I've had a couple of conferences like this. One is I was in Miami a couple of years ago for this 10X Growth Conference. And essentially, you know, the way that I would explain it is it's almost one big sales presentation where people get up, they you know, present an idea, and it's actually very motivational. It actually, I got a lot out of it, but it was a lot of that where people said, okay, here's sort of an idea, you know, and then they have something to sell. And so you run to the back of the room and you buy it, right? For attorneys, tell me how it works, because oftentimes, you know, again, for someone like me who's a litigator, You're not going to sell them on, well, number one, you probably have to do, you know, a conflict check to make sure that you're able to take them as a client, right? But number two, you're not going to take payment on site, because typically, you know, you have maybe a free consultation or something that you provide to them before you actually get a retainer. So how do you recommend attorneys deal with that sort of last phase of it, where, you know, you have someone who's ready to sign up with you or to at least have that initial conversation with you? How do you do that technically?
Yeah, for attorneys, this is what I found to be the most successful strategy, and it also keeps you on the right side of bar rules, is you're just going to offer them to either sign up for your mailing list or to come into your office for a consultation. That's it, right? It's not like you're selling and exchanging funds for attorney services, and usually not for medical services either. You're just basically gonna say, hey, listen, this is a warm prospect, a warm lead that you've now done a presentation that messages your value to. And now the next step is to bring them into your office for the conversion to client. That's when you're going to do your due diligence as the attorney. They're going to ask any questions. You're going to make sure that their problem is actually within your realm of practice and expertise. If not, you're going to make the appropriate referral. But it gives you the chance to do a little deeper dive. That's not going to happen during this presentation. But, you know, I have attorneys that I've worked with that have done a presentation for 25 people or so and ended up with 9 new clients because they came in for the consultation and then they became a client. See, here's the interesting thing about doing these presentations, Dave. Once they've listened to, for you for a half an hour, you know, as it is, if somebody comes into your office off the street for a consultation, your consultation is a sales pitch. You're explaining what you do. You're going to explain how much money it is. They're going to hem and haw. You're going to, oh, that's more than I thought. That much per hour. Oh my God, I didn't know that. And you're trying to overcome all of these objections. When you do this small talk first, they already are your client. They just haven't signed the paperwork yet. All the thoughts of, are you worth it? Can you solve my problem? Almost every one of the objections that they would have during a cold consultation visit are gone because they've already been handled in the presentation. This is what makes the conversion to client so much more effective.
That's extremely powerful.
You're still going to need to do a consultation. You're still going to need to do your due diligence as the attorney to make sure it's an appropriate case for you.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's an extremely powerful way of doing it. And I never really thought of it that way, that you've already, you know, through this sales process or this speech or presentation that you're giving, you're basically making them your client. They've already been convinced, and now you just need to bring them in to sort of close the deal. So I think that's just a powerful way of thinking about it and going about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So you don't have to convince them of anything. They convince themselves. That's the key.
Love that.
You are not selling them. You're just offering them an opportunity and they choose to take it. It's a tremendously different way to sell. I call it selling without sales. Or that's sales without selling. Let's put it that way. Sales without selling, because there's no selling. All you're doing is delivering value and inviting. And they're either going to take it or not. And if they're not, they're going to walk away with a very positive impression of who you are and of your firm, because you didn't hard sell them. You didn't pressure them. You didn't make them feel uncomfortable or stupid. And you actually delivered value and helped solve a little bit of their problem. So at the very, you know, at the best, they're a client. At the next best, they're not a client, but they're considering you in the future. And they're probably going to talk good about you to other people. And at worst, they just decide to do nothing and you helped another human being. Not so bad, no matter how you slice it.
Mm-hmm. I wonder, Dennis, if you have any I'm sure you've seen a lot of sales presentations, especially by lawyers. What are, you know, some of the top mistakes that you've seen, you know, lawyers do when making these types of presentations?
Not being prepared. And not understanding the strategy behind it. See, there's a structure. I call it the scaffolding of a talk, right? There's a structure that underpins the talk. Now, the words that you fill into that structure, they're absolutely going to be unique and authentic to you. And that's what I teach. You know, I'll give you the basic format of what should be in here and in what order it should be in, because the order in which you say things is also incredibly important to kind of guiding people to the outcome that you want. The biggest mistake that people get is number one. Well, here's the two biggest mistakes before training. Number one, they just fire hose people with information. Fire hose them with so much stuff that it's just they tune out and they're completely just they're gone. And you're not going to convince them, because all they think is, this guy, I don't even understand anything he's saying. How am I going to understand him or her when she's my lawyer, right? It's just, we can't communicate now. Why would it get better if I hired him or her, right? The other part is when they ask the person to do something. Now, by the way, if it actually is in your office at a consultation, I've definitely done some, you know, some sales coaching for attorneys where they just have a problem when it comes to telling them how much they're going to charge for something. They're just not comfortable with owning their value. So that's just a personal issue of really, you know, really kind of locking in on the benefit that you give and help other people with, and owning your value. You know, owning your value comes first. Messaging that value comes second. And you have to have both of those in place.
Excellent. Well, Dennis, I think we're coming to a close with our time together. I wonder, because you've shared, you know, some great information here, and I know you have more information than you could provide, much more information than you could provide. What's the best way for people to reach out to you for additional resources if they wanted to work with you, for example, or anything else you wanted to share with folks?
Sure, absolutely. Hey, listen, if you'd like to see if I'm a right fit for you, or, you know, vice versa, the best way to get in touch with me, and if you're serious, hey, listen, Dennis, I'd like to know about what you do and maybe we could work together. It's denniscummins.com/consult. So denniscummins.com/consult. That'll link you up to my calendar. I have a brief questionnaire on there to get some info about you. And we can set up a call and we can just have a conversation to say, hey, listen, what are you up to? If I could just make some suggestions to help you out right now, I'll do it. If what I have to offer can be of assistance for you, then maybe you want to work with me. That's great too. I'm open for any of those possibilities. The other option, Dave, is we went over those 63 places to speak, and there's a whole bunch more. There's a whole 24 or 27 page report that I've got. And if you'd like a copy of that, I'd love for you to go online and grab one. Just go to smalltalksbigprofits.com. So that's smalltalksbigprofits.com. And we'll just send you that 21 to 20. It's a lot of pages. It's got some good stuff in there.
Yeah, I've seen it, and it's really excellent. Well, fantastic. Well, Dennis, I really appreciate you being on. And yes, you definitely have a superpower in marketing, sales, and communications. So thank you so much for being on. Really appreciate it.
Dave, thank you again, and thank you all for listening. I appreciate all of you.
Well, thank you so much for listening. And you can join the discussion by leaving me a voicemail by going to anchor.fm/attorneydsy and hitting that message button. You can leave me a comment for me to play on the show, or a question for me to answer. You can also leave me a comment or question on social media. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at AttorneyDSY. I'm also on LinkedIn on my personal profile, so let me know if you have any comments about this episode. Tell me what you think about this podcast, or give me a topic you'd like to hear about. This podcast is on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Pocket Cast, TuneIn, and Anchor, so please be sure to subscribe and rate and review. I also want to invite you to the next session of Lawyers Emotional Intelligence Book Club, continuing on with Dr. Chatterjee's book, The Stress Solution. The next session will be tomorrow, Wednesday, July 15th at 7 p.m. Central. You can find out more at facebook.com/lawyersEQ. Have a great day or night, and remember to fight for the lifestyle that you want and become the rainmaker that you need to be.